I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
The 2-0. Swing and a fly ball center field. This is going to do it. Springer waving his arms under it and makes the catch. And the Houston Astros are headed to the World Series.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Ridgewell heads it away. And that is it. The Portland Timbers, best in the West. They will be the top seed in the Western Conference playoffs. The Cascadia Cup.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Manning has time. Now the ball comes out, and the Seahawks fall on it. Manning is hit. He is sacked. The ball popped out, and Frank Clark fell on it. The Seahawks have the ball.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it is 12:02 in the Rose City. It is time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague back on the saddle alongside my co-host Andy Dirt Johnson.
How's the mud butt doing? Is it all cured after the weekend?
I would like to apologize profusely for missing Friday. I was actually really upset. My kid had this norovirus, and both my kids got it, then I got it. But you know what happens is, even if somebody tells you it was more of a virus, you associate the stomach bug with the last thing you ate. So I'm not going to say what specifically I ate.
Oh, I talked about it on Friday. I told people what you ate.
Oh, you did?
I asked if it was the Hawaiian food or the beers or the combination of both.
Well, I'm not going to be eating that for quite a while, personally.
You can't do it. It's like a bad night with tequila. You can't go back to tequila for a while.
I'm still haunted by tequila from a night in college years ago. Yeah, I mean, years ago.
Yeah, 10 years ago. You can't move on from that.
You can't. You can't shake it. And so I'm just an individual that if I eat a meatball and that meatball hits me poorly, I'm off meatballs for 5 to 6 months. Yeah, I don't want to see a meatball. I don't want to taste a meatball. I'm done with meatballs. That's just the way that I operate, Dirt. And so I'm sorry that I missed Friday. I tried to give it a go. It didn't work.
You looked like death. I got in on Friday. You were sitting there. You hadn't even taken your computer out of your backpack. You were just sitting at the desk. And I thought you were about 8 shades more pale than you usually are.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, that happens from time to time. I'm glad I only missed a day. It literally was a 24-hour bug. I was in misery Friday. Then late Friday night, I started to be able to walk around. And I'm like, I think I shook it. Saturday, woke up. I'm like, let's go eat.
Yeah, you're feeling fine.
I was ready to go. I was really upset. But we've got a good show today. We got a lot of things to talk about.
It was a busy weekend in sports. Dare I say, the Blazers might have stolen most of my attention this weekend.
Which is very fair to say, given the performance they had in Milwaukee, 2-1 start.
Right. I mean, it was fine. I watched a lot of that game Friday night. Saturday was great. I was really disappointed in the weekend of college football. I thought there was going to be some good games. Game 7 of the ALCS was great for about 6.5 innings. Then the Astros kind of started to pull away, and you felt, all right, that's probably going to be it. And you kept watching. Maybe there's going to be a big comeback there. But really disappointed in the weekend of college football because I was all amped up for that one, and it fell flat.
Now, I have to ask this because we made this a poll question, and I kind of want to lead the show with it just out of curiosity from listeners. I know where I voted because I've already voted here at Dirt and Sprague, but we put a poll question up of who had the worst weekend. USC football, who completely no-showed and just got their lunch money stolen in Notre Dame.
Sweet Jesus, that was bad.
Carolina, who lost at Chicago to a team who didn't score an offensive touchdown. Or Kansas football, who had a total, and I'm not kidding when I say this, they finished with a whopping total of 21 yards and got blanked by TCU. Those are the three options you can vote for. And I don't think I voted for the one you think I voted for.
See, I rule out Kansas because I knew that is Kansas football. Right? Was anybody surprised by that?
Not at all. The least only, shocking thing of the weekend.
The only storyline out of that game is who was the jackass that chose to put that on Fox over Game 7 of the ALCS.
I think there's a rights deal.
It doesn't matter.
It's the way it's,
it doesn't matter. I'm it was 5 o'clock. They played TCU Kansas instead of Game 7. Game 7 had a huge ratings night. Good baseball game.
Would have had
an
even bigger night if it was on
Yankees,
Fox.
I mean, it was a huge night for ratings, and it would have been bigger if it was on Fox. So I rule Kansas out because nobody was surprised by that outcome. I went with the Carolina Panthers.
So did I.
They were my answer.
Yes.
Like, I was really surprised by USC losing the way that they did. I liked USC to win that game. Whoops. They ended up getting blown out. But Carolina losing at Chicago and not giving up an offensive touchdown, that's pretty bad. And they're now behind the New Orleans Saints in the NFC South.
Yeah, the Aints, as they once were referred, are back to their dominant, powerful ways with Drew Brees and company as they stormed in Lambeau.
They've won 4 straight games. They're 4-2.
They have, and they're playing really well post Adrian Peterson.
Yeah. How do you lose in the NFL not giving up an offensive touchdown?
I think that's why I had to go with the Panthers.
They only scored 3 points. The Bears' defense is not that good.
No.
It's not that good.
The pass rush was getting to Cam a little bit, but here's my thing. Kansas football, you mentioned it. Why is that surprising to anybody? That they should blow the thing up, quit, save that money, spend it towards athletics they care about or that they can actually win at. Kansas football is on a level of poop all to themselves that I don't know if we've seen since maybe the OSU 28 straight losing season.
Yeah, it's that bad.
USC, and we differed here, but I didn't think USC losing to Notre Dame, even in that fashion, was surprising.
Yeah, the only surprising part was how badly they lost.
I thought they were a fraud for the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, I could see them losing easily, but not getting blown out the way that they did. That was laughable. That game was over in the first quarter.
Yeah, Notre Dame did whatever they wanted.
I mean, USC fumbled the snap. They dropped the punt. Darnold threw a pick, and it was like 21-0 in the snap of a fingers. Because I missed the first like 6 minutes of that game because I was roped into the baseball game. And I was like, oh, that's right. It's 5 o'clock. USC Notre Dame started. I want to flip over. And it was 21-0 by the time I turned the game on. I was like, all right, well, go ahead and cross that one off of my channel flipping list.
Yeah, to me, Cam Newton going into Chicago and playing that way, that dude won the MVP. And he had a couple moments, he had 2 weeks where he went back to being MVP Cam.
That he did.
And now he's back to being, what the hell are you doing, Cam Newton?
I don't know. I don't even know how to make sense of that performance. Mitchell Trubisky won that game attempting 7 passes.
Is that what it was? I thought it was 11.
He was 4 of 7. He was 4 of 7. They only had like 33 plays of offense the whole game.
They couldn't do anything.
They ran the ball 26 times and they threw it 7. That was it. God. That was all Chicago did, and they still won that game 17-3.
There is no excuse for that. There's none.
Zero excuse. Like I was flipping around, having the red zone on yesterday morning. Carolina's driving early. That was one of the games I picked this week. I thought Carolina could win. They were driving on their opening drive down to like the Chicago 20. And they call a triple option, and they pitch it, and the guy drops the pitch.
Samuels drops it.
They go scoop and score for an 80-yard touchdown. I was like, uh-oh, this could be a long day.
You know when I knew Carolina was in trouble? Because I was with you for most of the week. Like
when you saw Cam in that hat?
Well, no, that's a usual Cam hat. Like, Cam wears that hat on almost a weekly basis.
When did he start dipping the Fu Manchu in the frosted tips,
this
by
year,
the way?
This year?
That's a new thing.
Yeah, that's his new look. Thing. I knew Carolina might be in trouble. I didn't pick it. I didn't spray the line. I didn't touch it. But I knew that they were in trouble in that game when everybody nationally was talking about how that was their lock of the week. When that happens in the NFL, I'm out. I'm sorry. Maybe it happens. Good for all you people for predicting it. I'm out. I don't want anything to do with that. And lo and behold, they get their butts destroyed in Chicago.
They could have just kicked 2 field goals and not given up defensive touchdowns and won that game 6-0.
Was that the worst week of NFL football we've seen this season?
It
overall,
was bad.
There was
nothing that wrote me in yesterday.
7
nothing.
Teams did not score an offensive touchdown. How about that factoid?
You had the Dallas 49er game was a blowout. The Titans-Browns game was just...
Dude.
Oh, That was ugly.
I'm trying my best
that was
to hold back on your boy Mariota.
Hey, a win's a win, baby.
And that garbage team
just
performance.
Just win, baby. Keep notching up those wins in the AFC South.
I think I wrote in my email to you because I wanted to give you my picks. 80% of the time you bet against the Browns.
You did.
You will win.
Yeah, you wrote that in your email. I read that one over the air.
And in the most spraying line fashion, I hit the 20%.
The one time the Browns have covered all season long.
God.
Decided to pick against them.
Kidding me?
So glad I decided to go to the Timbers game Sunday afternoon because it was so much more enjoyable.
There was two games I felt confident in, somewhat confident this weekend. One was Seattle over New York, and that was even in
that
doubt.
That was in doubt for a while.
Until the fourth quarter.
They decided to throw it.
They finally pulled away. They ended up winning 24-7. They covered the spread. The other one, we all were loving Atlanta. That offense against the Patriots defense.
Yeah.
Like, that was the defining moment of the NFL season for me. Just the 2x4 slap in the face of, we know nothing about the NFL.
Yep.
New England's defense was one of the worst in the leagues. Everybody was shredding them. It doesn't matter if it was at home or on the road. The Jets, you know, mustered 17 points, should have been 24 if they don't overturn it. They shut them down last night.
No, we know one thing. The Browns suck. The Browns suck.
They almost beat the Titans.
Well,
it
that's because
overtime.
Tennessee kept them in the game.
I don't want to talk about that game anymore.
Yeah, I give up on the NFL, man. I give up. I throw my hands in the air, and I'm just going to sit down and not expect anything anymore.
But you know what we got? We got what you mentioned earlier. We got us the Blazers, 2-1 little start here. A close competitive game against Milwaukee on the road that they probably should have won. And
I'm roped in, man.
CJ McCollum got fouled, and the NBA will not admit it. And they got their home opener tomorrow. At least we got that going for us because it's not pretty considering where we're going to start.
No.
And then that's with your Oregon Ducks.
Woof.
They have lost 3 straight. No idea what they're going to do going forward. Will Justin Herbert play against Utah? We'll talk about the Oregon Ducks. Unfortunately, Duck fan, I'm sorry. I know it's tough, but is this team still a bowl team? 55305 is the Bridgeport Pierce text line. We're on Twitter at Dirt and Sprague, at Theodore Johnson, and at Brandon Sprague. We'll start with Oregon next on 1080 The Fan. Yeah, we'll do a World Series preview today as well. And at 1:15, we're actually going to air an interview that I did. So Dirt had a family thing he had to do, and I got in here extremely early today. So we had a window where we could tape Ben Ryder, who writes for SI.com, and it was a short window because he's hopping on a plane and he's headed to the World Series and get ready for everything. So Dirt's not in the interview. We had to pre-record it before the show.
It's a fun one, though, man. This guy should have put some money on his SI cover.
Yes, and if you're wondering, okay, well, who's Ben Ryder? Ben Ryder is a pretty good baseball writer for Sports Illustrated, and in 2014, he wrote an in-depth expose on the Houston Astros. Why were they sucking, and what were they sucking for? So he got unprecedented access, and on the cover of that magazine, his story was the cover story. And it's titled, Your 2017 World Series Champs, Houston Astros.
And here we are in 2017. They're in the World Series.
And so Dirt and I have been following this story for almost a year because we saw that cover story and we laughed. And he agreed to come on and talk about that story and what led to it and kind of just get his thoughts. So we'll air that interview at 1:15. We'll talk about the World Series at 1:30. And, of course, we've got our NFL whip around at 1 o'clock. But your Oregon Ducks, Dirt, are... They've lost 3 straight. They're reeling. They are 4-4.
Yeah.
They were tied at halftime, but for the most part, it still kind of felt like fool's gold, given what we have seen. Braxton Burmeister was 8-15 for 74 yards and an interception. The Ducks' rushing attack was supposed to be what got them potentially a win, and they finished with 246 rushing yards, which was well below what UCLA gives up on average. And that was kind of what I was just talking about last week when we were discussing this game. Was even with a crappy rush defense, the worst in the conference, if the other team knows you can't pass the ball, all they have to do is gear up to slow or stop a run. And that's what I thought they did against Oregon. And now you're to a point where you just wonder, is Oregon still even a bowl team?
It all depends 100% on the health of Justin Herbert. It really does. There's not a doubt in my mind if Herbert's playing and he's healthy against UCLA, they win that game. UCLA is not a good football team. That the defense kept you in it in the first half, only giving up 14. And then things got out of hand in the second half because, again, they just couldn't sustain any pressure on offense. So it all depends. The bowl situation is if Herbert's back this week, I think you got a puncher's chance against Utah after what we saw them do at home against Arizona State this past weekend. You're going to lose to Washington, and then you look at Arizona and Oregon State at the end. At least you get them both at home, but Arizona's not a gimme. They're playing really good football. And look, after 2 years ago in the Civil War, what Oregon State did at Autzen, you kind of throw the records out when they play. But if Herbert's back, I still think this is a team that can make a bowl game. And, you know, there's a lot of anger and frustration, I think, in the fan base right now. And, look, understandably so. Losing sucks. They were 4-1, and everybody was pretty positive. Everybody loved the new staff and Taggart. Everybody was really high, and now everybody's down because you've lost three straight games. But, you know, I've been saying this now for 2.5 weeks. I don't really know what you expected to change. They cannot throw the football. I mean, UCLA knew that they were going to run the ball basically on every play. Their splits were 62 rushing attempts to 15 passing attempts. They still ran the ball for almost 250 yards. They still averaged 4 yards per carry. Freeman at 160 himself, almost 6 yards a carry. So they were effective in running the football. But when as a defense, you know that you can sell out on every single play, you can load the box, your D linemen, your linebackers, the only thing you're worried about is the running game. If you get beat one-on-one in a passing situation, it's not a big deal because you know they can't do it consistently enough to win the football game. It becomes easy to stop. You know, it's like if you're playing a game of poker and you know your opponent is always going to bluff. Every single time he goes in or raises or ups the bet, you know that he's bluffing. How hard is it to play against that? So I just, you know, Taggart and the staff right now, they have one hand tied behind their back. I think a lot of folks are kind of micro-analyzing every little detail, which I get, and he should be held accountable for some of the mistakes, but it just, they're not going to win football games with Braxton Burmeister, a quarterback.
So I think to answer the question, are they a bowl team? I really do believe it comes down to this weekend. If he doesn't play, if Herbert doesn't play against Utah, you're going to lose that game.
Yeah, there's no doubt
you're
in my mind.
You're going to lose to Washington with or without Herbert. And I'll be honest with you, I'm going to give Rich Rod he's kind of figured it out this year with the right mix of kids, the rushing attack, the dynamic play of Khalil Tate. I don't think you're beating Arizona with Herbert. That would leave you at 4 wins going for potentially 5 in the Civil War. And if Herbert's not available for health reasons, for whatever reason, at that point, as one texter pointed out, is the difference between Oregon and Oregon State Justin Herbert? I would say at this point, it kind of feels that way. And I know that may not be fair because the Beavers' record is worse than the Ducks, but just what we've seen without Justin Herbert, they are one of the worst teams in this conference, and that is the tough part. I don't know about Duck fans' feelings. Are they angry? Whatever. All I can speak of is what I've seen, and it kind of is just, it piggybacks a little bit with what you're talking about, because I wondered, should you start throwing Burmeister out there and saying, hey, you're going to make mistakes, throw the ball. I watched that game twice, Dirt. The first time I watched it was on my DVR because I missed it live. Mm-hmm. The second time I watched it, kind of DVR-ish, but I slowed it down a little more. That kid can't make routine throws.
No, he can't.
Like,
and I don't want to bash him either because he's a freshman. He shouldn't be in that spot.
That's fine, but the facts are he struggles to make routine throws. I don't know what Willie Taggart does. Do you play Taylor Alley? We've seen that song and dance before, and I think Willie Taggart will tell you he's seen it in practice enough to know that the answer to that is probably a no. Do you run it more? You only threw it 15 times. And again, UCLA is your worst rushing opponent on defense that you'll face all year. They held you well below what they usually give up because they know what you're going to do. They know the only thing you can do. And so I just think you look at Oregon and say, are they a bowl team? It's all going to hinge on Utah. They lose to Utah, I don't care what the health status of Herbert is. You're not winning 2 of your last 3.
Yeah, I'm not willing to just simply say the Arizona one is a loss either way. I do think Arizona's playing good football. There's no way it's a guarantee.
Is that at Arizona or
not? It's at Autzen. So for that reason, I still think Oregon with a healthy Herbert has a chance. But as long as Burmeister's going, they're not going to beat anybody. And you know, the question is the only difference between Oregon and Oregon State, that Justin Herbert. No, to me, it's not that simple. Just for example, look at the last 2 stat lines for Daryl Gerritsen, right? The backup at Oregon State, who is not great. We can all agree on that. Against Colorado, he was 20 of 37 for 289 yards. Against USC on the road, he was 16 of 29 for 200 yards. Those are decent stat lines. Oregon's in that game if they have a quarterback that goes 20 of 37 for 289 yards. I think that's oversimplifying it. The difference is that they just don't have depth at that position. And that's something that I can't hold against his coaching staff. Again, not to keep hammering home that point, it's not his fault his second and third string quarterbacks decided to transfer out, and they were forced to move a wide receiver back to quarterback and Taylor Alley as your backup, and then you're forced to play a freshman who, if we know anything after the last 3 weeks, it said he is not ready to play in the Pac-12. It's frustrating because I think this football team is good. I still honestly believe that, and I have Beaver fans who are chirping at me because I thought that they could go 8-4 this season. I still maintain without a shadow of doubt that this football team could have gone 8-4 if Justin Herbert plays. You would have lost to Washington State. You would have lost to Stanford. But in my opinion, you beat UCLA with Herbert. You're sitting here at 5-3 with a chance to beat Utah, Arizona, and Oregon State to close things out and get to 8 wins. It just, this stuff happens to programs and it happens to teams. Do we all agree that Jimbo Fisher is a good head coach? Won a national title. He's been to BCS bowl games.
Oh, Jimbo? Yeah.
He's 2-4 this year. Why? Because his quarterback tore his ACL in the opener. He's forced to play a freshman. They have enough talent around the roster to keep them in games, but the kid makes mistakes or he throws picks or he fumbles when they don't need it, and they're sitting there at 2-4 because they're in the same predicament.
College football is weird that way, where some programs can lose their quarterback and be okay, and then take Florida State. And it's funny that you brought that up because I was actually talking about that with a friend of the show, Kyle Knepp, before the show. And they lose Francois, who is a really good player.
Yeah, one of the better quarterbacks in the country.
Are you only ranked in the top three based on one player on your whole team? And that's the thing is, like, I think that's a good comparison for Oregon, because should Florida State be where they're at, they have to win two of their last three, and those are not going to be easy games to be bowl eligible. But Oregon is. I think Oregon and Florida State talent-wise, they're on different playing fields here. Now, they're kind of in the same predicament of needing to do this and that without their starting quarterback. But it is amazing how in college football sometimes that doesn't always affect programs. And then with others, it comes into play. Oregon, Florida State being the example here. I want to read a few texts real quick. Somebody texted in and said, Duck fan, no hurt feelings report here. Very young team. Injuries like quarterback kill. Burmeister sucks. Great defense. They are gassed all the time. Another one. I want to be mad, but then again, I could be Oregon State and have my coach quit on me and not be able to win a single game.
That's a low blow.
It's okay. It's what happens. Another one. It's simple. Oregon has no passing game until that changes. They won't win 2-1 dimensional. Somebody else says season's as a loss for Oregon. Keep Burmeister out there. It's good learning for experience.
No, I disagree with that.
For him moving forward. Somebody else says, yes, let him throw the damn ball. I would rather lose that way than being one dimensional. Somebody else tells me Sprague is way overvaluing Arizona. They gave 44 to Cal. That Oregon stuffed at home. Well,
that was a double overtime game. They gave up 44.
Cal also held Washington State to 3. Oregon gave up 30. It doesn't.
Yeah,
that's not how college football works.
No, no, it's not. Another example to use is Clemson. You know, Kelly Bryant goes down, they lose to Syracuse. The quarterback position is.
We know how valuable it is. I'm just saying, in college football, some programs it doesn't affect, and a lot of others it does.
It does, because Oregon's not one of those programs that has a dominant defense that can win you games. The offensive line just can't simply push people around, and for the calls, wanting him to throw more, no thanks. I know it sucks to watch a team run the ball 60 times and throw it 15, but if you watch him, he can't sit in the pocket and make reads. Like, you get those occasional opportunities where there's somebody wide open because UCLA sells out so hard to stop the run that there's somebody going up the seam, whether it's Nelson or a tight end, that's wide open, and he hit him. He had a couple of those plays. But outside of that, if there's not one of those wide open receivers on his first read, what does he do? He either scrambles or he lobs a ball into double coverage and a fade down the sideline, and that's
cost him. He throws it out of bounds.
And it's cost him a couple interceptions, too. He threw another one on a 2nd-and-3 situation. He threw a pick down the sideline in the second half of that ball game. And as far as there's nothing to gain this season, keep playing Burmeister, I couldn't disagree more. I think making a bowl game is really important for a young team. You get a month of practice. You get that experience of playing in a situation like that. And if Herbert's healthy, you play him. There's no point. It's a non-throwing shoulder injury. When he's ready to go, you trot him back out there.
We'll read a few more texts on this. The Bridgeport Beers text line 55305. Do you think Oregon is still a bowl team? We'll also move on to the Pac-12. Who's the best in the North, and who is the best in the South? I thought it was an interesting weekend in the Pac-12 conference. We'll talk about that next.
Well, my nightmare is come to fruition. Dirt is loose on the text machine, I just found out. Back and forth with people who... There's some criticism that's been pointed on the text line, the Bridgeport Beers text line, about Willie Taggart. Somebody saying Willie Taggart and the staff, they understand Herbert's injury, but they've not done a great job and made the right adjustments.
Look, there's a lot of things that I want to criticize about this staff.
Somebody else saying dirt enough on the excuses.
Oh, yeah, excuses. Right? Should they all be fired for being 4-4?
No, I don't think people go that way, but they just wonder, is there something different they could be doing?
No.
I don't know what it is.
No. Have you watched Burmeister play? What's the difference? And somebody, the guy who said I was giving excuses said, how's Arizona doing with their backup quarterback? If Willie Taggart was in year 3 or year 4, and he hadn't developed a backup, and he hadn't brought up, you know, another guy to be the just-in-case QB, by all means, I'd sit here and rip him. That's what we did with Mark Helfrich. Where's the next guy? Mariota's gone. There was nobody else left. He had to rely on grad transfers. Every big recruit they brought in didn't pan out or transferred out. It's not his fault. Like, if you want to criticize him for the number 2 and number 3 guys in the depth chart deciding to transfer, then fine. Criticize him for that. I don't know how you have that control. What's he supposed to say? No, I'm going to force you to stay here. You didn't want it. You didn't want to compete. You didn't want to battle. You didn't want to stick around just in case of an injury. So you decided to go elsewhere. I just said there's not much that a coach can do in those circumstances. You have to allow kids out of your program if they decide to transfer.
And one more real quick, and then we'll move on to the Pac-12 weekend that was. The defense was an issue, and it's been a major improvement. I'm fine with the way the season is going. You won't find everybody with that opinion.
Well, there's not much. I don't know what else they could really do. At 4-1, I think everybody was really high. When Herbert went down, it was like, all right, let's see where you can go from here. And I haven't expected much difference here the last 3 weeks.
Do you agree with me if they don't beat Utah, they're not a bowl team?
I'm still not ready to say that because I think the Arizona game, if Herbert is playing, is a winnable game.
Okay. All right. The Pac-12. Very interesting weekend in the conference. I want to start with USC Notre Dame.
And what the hell happened in Notre Dame, man?
God, you know, we disagreed on this, and we probably agree now, I would assume. USC is such a fraud. They really are. They're such a fraud. I'm not shocked that they got ran out of South Bend at all. Darnold's been funky all year with the turnovers and the fumbles. I don't trust Clay Helton as far as I can throw him, which is not even a yard. I don't trust that guy at all. We'll see what he's like without Sam Darnold. T. Martin's play calling has been atrocious. And you know what? I think their defense has always kind of been that kind of defense. At any given moment against the right offense, they're going to break. And so USC goes into Notre Dame, and they suffer the worst loss against Notre Dame since, what, the 60s? 49-14.
Yeah, it was one of those snowball games. I mean, they fumbled the snap early. Darnold probably should have just gone down. It was a high snap. He tried to make a play, ends up fumbling. Then they muff the punt. Then Darnold throws the pick, and just in the snap of a finger, that game was 21-0, and Notre Dame was fired up, and they took advantage of those mistakes. They were rolling. They ran the ball for 377 yards, and, you know, the USC one, a lot of people have been waiting for that slipper to fall off. I was still holding out hope just based on the Stanford game from earlier this year that at some point USC would get back to that kind of performance, but the offensive line has been too banged up. Darnold has not looked comfortable in the pocket. And I think he's really missing some of the weapons that he lost last year. That was one of those storylines I didn't put a ton of stock in going into the season, all the guys they lost to the NFL on the outside. But they haven't really been able to replace those guys. And now that disaster scenario for the college football playoff, it's there. It's alive and well. Notre Dame with that win. They get NC State again this weekend. I believe that game is in South Bend, so at least they get them at home.
Yeah, they win that game. It just keeps going.
If Notre Dame wins that game, they're a top 5 ranked team in the country. Their only loss at this point is a 1-point loss to, right now, what, the number 2 or 3 team in the country in Georgia. That's it. And that's the disaster scenario, I think, for a lot of Power 5 teams wondering, are we going to get into the playoff?
Yeah, and you see reports out there, Benjamin Albright's reporting that sources are telling him down in SoCal that Sam Darnold's not leaving after this season. I'll still kind of believe that when I see it. Money talks, BS walks.
I actually, like, that's the one thing I've seen a lot of people do is say, like, this Darnold's a fraud and he's not an NFL quarterback.
Well, he's young.
He's young.
I think our mistake, Dirt, was investing too much in a kid that didn't have enough starts.
He played nine or 10 games last year. That was it. Let's not overreact to a couple of bad performances with a shaky offensive line. And if that ends up happening, I honestly think that could be a great thing for him. Like, if teams are scared off by this and he doesn't end up going in the top 10, that could be a really good thing where maybe he doesn't get drafted by the Jets or the Browns and he goes to a competent franchise.
Well, the game that really, I just officially was like off the USC train was Oregon State. Because I was at that game.
Yeah, they look bad.
And I'm sitting in the stands with Trojan fans and they're like, no offense, but do you think it's going to be 50-0? Do you think you guys will score? And I jokingly said, oh, we'll score. Man, if Oregon State had a competent quarterback at that moment, they probably would have won that game. I'm not kidding you, man. They had 3 possessions down in the red zone and all they walked away with was a field goal. They couldn't do anything offensively because they couldn't throw the ball. USC was sloppy that day. And at that moment, I go, God, even a middle-of-the-road Pac-12 team is winning this game if they're playing the Trojans today.
Watch what happens with Clay Helton. If Darnold leaves, I mean, the only reason he still has a job is because of what Darnold did last year.
Saved it for him.
Saved his ass. He was going to get fired. If he ends up going, I mean, whew, no confidence in Clay Helton.
Well, and I thought it was the most underrated game in all of college football. Arizona-Cal moving on within the Pac-12. How about the Fighting Rich Rods this year, huh? They go into Cal. They're only a three-point favorite. And Cal sends it to double overtime. They fall to the Wildcats, who are now 5-2 on the year and a game away from being bowl eligible. Arizona ran it for 345 yards. And Khalil Tate, he's such a dynamic player. He throws it for $166, over 100 yards rushing. You cannot duplicate what he does. You just need incredibly disciplined defense, I think, to try to stop that Rich Rod offense.
You really do, man. Khalil Tate's been so fun to watch. I'm just ticked that they didn't cover that spread. This game was 21-7 at the half. I had Arizona minus the three, and you give some credit to Cal because they came back and fought. You're right. This was one of the better games of the weekend. It was pretty disappointing, in my opinion, from start to finish in college football. Going to two OTs, Wilcox rolling the dice, going for two. It was awesome. I think the only questions that I have about Arizona, because Khalil Tate to me is the real deal. I don't care who you're playing, how bad the defenses are. When you're putting up the numbers he's putting up, you're legitimate, no matter who it's against. The only criticism or question I would have about them is, one, their defense and the yards that they gave up to Cal. They let Cal back into that game. They ran all over him. Bowers had a good game throwing the ball. And you look at the three games that they've won. It's Colorado, UCLA, and then Cal. And then you look at their next two opponents. We'll find out who Arizona is. They got Washington State at home this weekend, and then they're at USC. Mm-hmm. I think we'll find out. But as long as Khalil Tate's running the way he is and keeps playing that kind of football, they're going to be in all those games.
And I want to point out, one of their losses was to Utah a few weeks back in Arizona on like a Friday night.
It was a Friday night. They lost 30-24.
And what I remember watching that game, and they hung tough with Utah, who at that time was kind of a different Utah team. Huntley hadn't got injured. He wasn't turning the ball over. All of that's been going on with the Utes since, but even in that game, when Utah was playing good football, they were hanging tough with them. But you're right. The schedule is going to show us really who Arizona is, but kudos to Rich Rod, because this was the pressure cooker year for him. Everybody kind of counting him out. Oh, they're going to be terrible. Mm-hmm. Brandon Dawkins goes down, ends up being maybe one of the best things for him, because now you have Khalil Tate running quarterback.
I think the story of the Pac-12 this year, outside of maybe the parity and probably not getting a team in the playoff at this point, is the Arizona schools.
Which I want to talk about ASU, because you pointed something out last week, and they went in that matchup against Utah, and they didn't just win. They kicked Utah's you-know-what in Rice-Eccles. We'll talk about that, and also the Cougars looking good against a very bad Colorado team. We'll finish some Pac-12 talk next on 1080.
We've got our NFL whip around at 1 o'clock, and then we'll talk with Ben Ryder of SportsIllustrated.com, who wrote a cover story in 2014 predicting the Astros winning the World Series in 2017. Dirt missed that one, so it's just going to be me and Ben, but he had some really good insight on the World Series matchup. Then we'll talk about the World Series. As we had a Game 7 in sports, the Yankees lose the last two of that matchup, and Houston on to their second World Series ever against the Dodgers, which that starts tomorrow. And then get into the Blazers a little bit. Talk some Blazers as they're 2-1.
Been a lot of fun to watch three games in.
Absolutely. So we got a loaded second hour coming up. Arizona State, you mentioned it before the break, Dirt. The story in the Pac-12. The Arizona schools, we mentioned Arizona as they get a good win against Cal, just a good win in the sense of it was a road win, and you get another W.
Cal's a good team. They've been up and they've been down. They've had their moments, but I think Cal's a good football team.
Well, the big win for a Pac-12 team this weekend came with another road team, and it was another Arizona school. Arizona State goes on the road to Utah. 9.5-point dogs. You said all week how you hated it. You didn't understand it. But I don't know if anybody saw this coming. They went to Utah and they mollywopped the Utes. They win by 20, 30-10 in Rice-Eccles. Huntley threw four interceptions. And ASU now, 4-1 in conference play.
Who's the best team in the Pac-12 South? Could it be Arizona State?
I think giving Arizona State that label is completely acceptable.
Look what they did last week against Washington. Everybody expected that to be their Super Bowl. They'd come out flat and they wouldn't beat Utah, and they smoked them from start to finish. A late touchdown was the only thing that got Utah on the board. I was surprised by the way they played defensively. I've liked their offense all year, and Wilkins and Ballage, Richard in the backfield, and N'Keal Harry to me is one of the better wide receivers in the country, let alone the Pac-12. But the way they played defensively the last 2 weeks, I mean, they've given up 17 combined points in back-to-back games now. That's the Arizona State defense that was getting just gashed early on in the season. And they've turned a corner. They're playing good football. This spread did not make any sense to me. It was my lock of the college football weekend, but I didn't see a butt kicking coming like Arizona State just laid on them. And based off of the last 2 weekends, look, they're going to have their chance. They play USC this weekend. They play them at home, so they get them in their own building. But based off of the last 2 weekends and the fact you look at the 2 weeks before that spread, they hung with Stanford from start to finish. They ended up losing by 10, but they were in that ball game the whole time. And they're the only team this year to beat Oregon with Justin Herbert in the lineup. They won that game, and a lot of folks at the time laughed at Oregon and said, what a bad loss, and how do you lose in Tempe? Just in watching that, I was impressed with what Arizona State did, and I said, let's make sure to give some credit. That looked like a good football team to me, and they've proven it. They're playing as good as anybody in this conference, and they got a chance to take a step towards the, think about it, Pac-12 championship game this Saturday.
Well, I mean, you do get USC at home. If you win that, the schedule opens up. You get Colorado at home. You'll win that one. Then you're on the road at UCLA, who really I don't think can stop you offensively. Then you're at Oregon State. And then you get the Arizona rivalry game at the end of the year. You could be 100% right there. That could be right there setting up for a Pac-12 South representation. This was an interesting note. Let's go back a minute on Arizona State. Let's go back to the beginning of the year. First of all, your thoughts of Arizona State going into the season and then how it started out. They were 1-2, and they had lost 8 of their last 9 dating back to last season at that point. They're now 3-1 in conference play,
yeah,
and they control their destiny going forward. It's unreal, and this is just a reminder to everybody, us, Swag, anybody else hosting a radio show that writes, and fans out there. It's a nice reminder when Arizona State stories pop up of let's not overreact to the first 2 weeks, 3 weeks of a season.
We do it every year.
Yeah, we do this every year. We do it with Stanford, ASU had it, and now you look at it till the end of October, heading into November now, how everything kind of shakes out for some of these teams.
It's a good reminder, and I think, look, this is – I'll almost even correlate the Pac-12 with the NFL this year. Like, I know at least that right now it looks like they're not getting in the playoff. And I think if you ask 10 different people who's the best team in the conference or who's the best team in the North or South, you might get, you know, 6 or 7 different answers. That's fun for me, though. Like, it's fun to turn it on every single Saturday and not know what the hell is going to happen. Like, who's USC, Arizona State? Who's going to win that game? I mean, I think everybody's going to probably lean ASU right now with the way that they've been playing. I wouldn't be shocked if USC responds to getting their ass kicked on the road and finds a way to win. Arizona, Washington State's going to be a good game. I think having that aspect of just turning it on and wondering and not knowing what's going to happen to me, it makes the Pac-12 a lot of fun to watch.
Where would you vote then?
Right now, I would say, I mean, I'd probably still say Washington's the best in the North and Arizona State right now.
You'd go Washington over Stanford?
I would go Washington over Stanford. And I would say that Arizona State's the best team in the South. But that can change in a heartbeat in one weekend.
Because if you looked at the numbers, the big reason Arizona State beat Utah by 20 was the turnovers. They took one to the house, I believe. They may have taken a second
Huntley
one.
Yeah, Huntley threw 4 picks. Utah's offense is anemic.
I mean, Kalen Ballage and DeMario Richard, they combined for 168 yards rushing. It wasn't like they dominated on the ground there. The 4 turnovers are the difference. I don't know who you would pick. I really don't. This is an industry of hot takes and have an opinion. There isn't a right answer here. Who's the best team in the South? 3 of them. There's 3 of them. Let them fight for it. Arizona, yeah. Arizona State, USC.
And that's the fun part, too, is they haven't played each other yet. Arizona and Arizona State obviously played the last week in the season, and neither of them played USC, and Arizona State does this weekend.
Well, and even take the North, right? You say Washington, and that's totally reasonable. I get it. Stanford in the North. They
People
probably get a right, too. They get a vote.
People
the Football
love
Power
right
Index
now.
Think they have the biggest percentage chance to win the Pac-12.
Yeah, I think we're in the stretch of now again. I mean, this whole we'll find out who you are. Stanford was one of those teams we overreacted early. They seem to have figured it out on the defensive end. The quarterback play has gotten a little bit better. And, you know, they get Oregon State on Thursday night. We'll see if something crazy happens. But you get through that with the win. Then you play Washington State on the road in Washington at home in back-to-back weeks. So, again, I mean, it's all still out in front of us in this conference. And if you told me Stanford, Washington State, or Washington won the North, I wouldn't be surprised, because right now I'm not quite sure you can pinpoint who the best team is.
And, look, I know we tease. We like to have fun with spreading the line, because my picks quite often are not right, and I am sub 500. The only thing I will say in a serious manner, I hope you took my Washington State pick and you made money. That was easiest bet that I made, was Washington State minus 10. Colorado has no offense right now. They're playing the Beaverton kid, Sam Neuer. Maybe they go back to Montez. But that was the easiest bet you could have made.
Yeah, I actually had a fun segment. I want to do this every Friday now. I went around the conference on Friday when you're out, and I just decided I want to pick the games against the spread. Just a fun way to talk about them with the gambling angle to them. The only two that I missed, I got Washington State to cover, Arizona State, obviously. I took UCLA. The ones that I missed were, I had USC, because I was still in love with them for some reason, and then the backdoor by Cal. I thought Arizona was going to cover that spread on the road, and credit to Cal, that ended up being a close game.
Luke Falk, 25th win of his career.
Is he the conference leading passer yet?
He's close. He's really close.
He's got to be right there with Mannion. I mean,
he passed Mannion in one category.
He also had that this weekend with Royce Freeman. Past LaMichael James.
Yeah, he set it for yards. I don't think he has the touchdowns record yet.
Luke Falk.
Okay. But that's a record I think he's going to get by the end of the year,
barring an injury, yeah.
Scare.
That was an ugly game on Saturday night. I didn't watch, but when that thing got to 14-0, Colorado sucks.
So did I. I turned it off.
I turned that one off.
I said, we're good. Colorado's not doing anything.
They're not scoring 21 points.
We got a packed second hour. We'll get to the Blazers 2-1 start. Some defensive numbers bearing out that, hey, a little better than what they did last year. We'll discuss the World Series matchup between the Dodgers and the Astros. The Astros winning Game 7. I'll talk to SI.com's Ben Ryder, who predicted the Astros winning the World Series in 2017, all the way back in 2014. But we'll start hour two with our NFL whip around. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague back with more on 1080 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.